Good morning, children especially. Good morning. So what are some of the ways? Well, I've got a little talk. I should give you the title first, so this sort of follows the pattern of the sermons. And the title of this little talk is God just love? Is God just love? So what are some of the ways in which people are wrong about what they think about God or Jesus Christ? Yes, Stanley.
I think he's boring.
Okay. And think about Jesus in particular. What are some of what we might call heresies about Jesus Christ? Yes, Gracie?
They don't think Jesus is real.
They don't think Jesus is real. Okay.
They don't believe he was the Son of God. They just think he was a good teacher.
Right. That's the one that I had on my sheet of paper here. They don't believe that he's the Son of God. They deny this. And in fact, yesterday we were singing hymns in the Westfield Centre in Derby. And just before we started, there was a sort of technical hitch with security. We couldn't start. And two young chaps, I guess in their early 20s, probably on pretty safe ground to say that they were Muslims, came past and were very firm at shouting at the crowd of 30 of us that there were, that Jesus wasn't the Son of God. And we sort of said to ourselves, well, that's that settled then. And of course, that is not true. If you look at Hebrews 1 as a chapter, for example, it's very clear, the Bible, that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. Can we think of any other sort of things that people say in particular, on a similar sort of theme, doctrines about God that people get quite wrong? Perhaps those sort of people that come and knock on our doors and related to the fact that Jesus, they say, is not the Son of God. Well, sometimes people don't believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. They don't believe that God is three people in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet, 1 John 5:7 says this, there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, that is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And in my understanding, it doesn't really get much clearer than that, the doctrine of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all sharing the same essence, three people in one. Difficult for us to understand, but that's what the Bible teaches. And what is the one word that sometimes people describe God as being? What adjective might they use? Yes, Stanley?
Omnipresent.
Well, that's one of his attributes, but I mean, what do people use casually, even more often than that? Many people out there, many of those people that claim to be Christians or claim to know something about Christianity, what might they say, Charlotte?
God is love.
God is love. That's exactly right. They say God is love. And of course, God is love. But by that, they really mean God is just love and that he won't judge us or punish us in any way. And so that's not quite right what they're driving at when they say that. So where do we find out what God is really like?
In the Bible.
In the Bible, we find out what God is really like. Where else can we find out? Yes?
In church.
Well, we can find out indirectly through church, yes. The Bible is hopefully taught in churches, yes. We can find out in creation, and we can find out in providence as well, the unfolding of God's plan, and we can read that as a book, if you like, if we're following God closely. Okay, so we'll come back to the Bible in a moment, because that's the obvious place, as Timothy has mentioned. But in creation and in providence, you know, if we think about how families can be happy families, and there can be sort of shopping trips and happy childhoods and all sort of good things like that. There could be a country where there's democracy and peace. Can we think of any examples of things where providence suggests perhaps another side of God? You know, that things are not always quite as good as that and quite as sweet and nice. Yes, Charlotte?
Death.
Yes, Timothy?
Illness.
Illness, the creeping infirmities of age, we could say. Yes, Molly?
The human soul.
In what way do you mean by that?
It's like your sin and, you know, your guilty conscience.
Okay, we could have our soul at peace with God, but yes, there is certainly elements of our inner nature that are that point to something less good. Yes.
Natural disasters.
Natural disasters and so on. And I'll come on to that in a moment with creation. That's probably comes under that heading that I was thinking of there. And I thought, you know, less pleasant things. We might think of, you know, corpses lying strewed on a battlefield and illness and death and so on. Okay, so in creation, we could think of good providences. We could think of things like the sunshine, the summer, the dew, calmness. But what sort of things might suggest to us another side of God in creation? Yes, Gracie? Pardon? Earthquakes. Exactly right. That's exactly the sort of thing I was thinking about. Earthquakes, volcanoes, terrible darkness, a bleak wintry blast, that type of thing. Okay, so, and in the Bible, supremely, the Bible talks about God as love, yes, but also talks about that embracing mercy and righteousness. And I've got just a few quotes here. Matthew 3:7 says, "Flee from the wrath to come." John 8:24 says, "If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." And 1 Peter 4:17, "What will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" And there's a message in those Bible verses that God is not just love, but that we need to respond aright. And the period of time in which we're living at the moment between Jesus' first coming and his second coming, how do people sometimes describe that? The sort of expressions that we use. We're in the gospel age, okay? So we're in a days of love where God is forbearing, he's showing his patience, he's enabling people to have a chance to repent and come to, he's withholding his judgment and so on. Okay, and actually this is the, you know, central sort of element of the gospel, of the good news, of the Christian message, that if we don't know Jesus Christ at the moment as our Lord and Saviour, we need to turn from our sins and believe that he laid down his life for us. But this offer, this gospel age, is limited. It's limited in its time. It won't go on forever. And Jesus taught that there was a story that he taught, a parable that he taught about a master who shut the door. And when he'd closed the door, we knocked on the door and said, "Lord, Lord, let me in." And he said, "Who are you? I don't know from where you've come." And at that time, he won't open the door anymore. It will be too late. But Jesus also taught a parable about the persistent widow. And she continued to pray. And what this teaches us with the unmerciful judge, the unjust judge, sorry, he taught us that it was never, you know, we should never give up praying. That if we don't know the Lord yet personally, we should go on asking, seek and we will find. And the promise is there in the Bible that if we seek him with all of our hearts and with all of our souls, we will surely find him. So don't give up doing that, and don't wait until it's too late.